Well, it's great that we can now come and focus on God's Word. I have to be honest and say that I've struggled this week in preparation for this message just because of the challenge of it and in light of what the Lord has laid on my heart. We have been working our way through and been encouraged to think about how we can enjoy the presence of God in recent weeks. And we continue on that theme this morning, focusing on examining ourselves. The initial question that came to my mind when I looked at this was, how can I enjoy the presence of God by examining myself? How is that even possible? I know what I'm like. I fail and I sin every day, and I'm well aware of that. And on the other hand, God is so holy and so set apart and so perfect. So how can I enjoy the presence of God by examining myself? You know, examining ourselves isn't a comfortable thing to do, and yet it should be a regular thing that we do as God's people. But if we're being honest, you know, we don't like to do that because we know at times there's things within us that we would rather leave as they are. Maybe situations that aren't right, and rather than dealing with it, we'll just leave it because it's not causing me any grief at the moment. And yet God says in his word, in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 45, you must be holy because I am holy. It doesn't say, you know, consider it. It doesn't say, now here's something you should think about. It doesn't say, now this might be good for you. But God says, you must be holy. You must, because I am holy. And it's imperative that we examine ourselves. Listen to the words of Romans chapter 13, verse 14. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. As Selwyn Hughes says, nothing dulls or blunts the awareness of God's presence in our lives so much as continuing to think or act in ways of which God cannot approve. What we come to do today is so important, and I want to encourage each of us to act in this as we allow God to speak to us through his word, and as we think about some tough questions as we look within and examine ourselves. I want to bring this message today in light of the current coronavirus pandemic that we find ourselves in. If I had to ask you, what is most important to you in your life, what would you say? Of course, many things are important, and some things are of high importance, but what is most important to you? What is the one thing that you cannot live without? Well, let me share some verses that the Lord has put in my heart for today's message as we think about examining ourselves and looking within. They're found in Matthew's Gospel, some of Jesus' famous words from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. The words of Jesus to us today. Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that we can join online today to worship you, to think in you. And we thank you, Lord, that we can enjoy your presence. But as we come, Lord, to think about examining ourselves today before a God who is holy and set apart, Lord, that makes us uncomfortable. And yet, Lord, it's something that is so necessary for us to do if we want to walk closer with you. So we pray in these moments that lie ahead, Lord, that we would hear your voice, that you would help us to be brave and honest as we look within. And to know, Lord, that as we do that and the decisions and choices that we make, Lord, we want to honour you in them, that we might walk closer with you and enjoy your presence more and more. Thank you, Lord, for your presence and all that you mean to us. In Jesus' name, amen. A few moments ago, I asked you, what is the most important thing in your life? I hope if you're a Christian watching this, that you would answer that question, God. Because you can't live without God, really. And that is the answer to the question. That is the one thing in life we cannot live without, is God. Why? Because Jesus is life. In fact, he made that claim about himself. He said he was the way, the truth, but the life. And he also said in John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 10, he came so that we might have life and have it to the full, or have an abundant life. You see, God gives us new life, purpose in life. And he shows us that in his word through Jesus and how we are to live that full life. You might be watching this and God isn't the most important person in your life. Can I tell you today that you need God? Your sin, your wrong, your shortcomings fall way short of God's holy standard. The Bible tells us that in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. And you need forgiveness today. You know, that's why Jesus died on the cross, for your sin and your wrong, so that you can be forgiven. You know, God has given everything for you. Jesus left the splendour of heaven, became a human being, put himself in that vulnerable place of being a baby and being looked after. And as he grew up, he lived for his Father God to bring hope and life and light into the lives of so many. But also, Jesus was a straight talker. He spoke judgment to people as well. Jesus didn't miss the mark when he spoke about sin. That is the wrong in people's lives. You know, the Bible tells us that we're all sinners. We were all born that way, sinful. And although Jesus was sinless, he was perfect. He knows all about our sin. Why? Because he died for it. He took your sin and my sin on himself. And yet he did no wrong, he was perfect. And yet he was humiliated, battered, bruised, bloodied, left alone to die on a cross that he was crucified on. You know, his beating was so severe we can't comprehend it. And yet it was for your wrong and my wrong, our sin, your sin, that Jesus died. Why did Jesus do this? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shouldn't perish, shouldn't die, but have eternal life, everlasting life. For God so loved the world, that's why he died for you, because he so loves you. And after Jesus died, after he was crucified, he was laid in a tomb, and he was raised to life on the third day. And because of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, you can be forgiven today and have new life. New life that only God can give you by the Holy Spirit. You need God today if you don't know him. Pray, ask forgiveness for your sins, acknowledge your need of him, and enter into the new life that God has for you. I trust and hope that God means more and more to us every day as we live for him. And I start on that note because as we live for God, we can still sin. We still do sin. And through time, if we allow that to continue to happen, the things of God can become less and less important to us and not a priority anymore. And the importance of examining ourselves has to be high in the radar if we're going to be right with God and enjoy his presence and walk with him. You know, Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21 focuses on material things and the things that we store up for ourselves as we lose focus in our relationship with God. But you know, it also talks about the heart and recognising what is important. Where is your treasure? Where is your heart? And that's what I want us to think about today as we examine our hearts, examine ourselves. You know, there have been a couple of key things for me this week in my devotions leading up to this message as we think about examining ourselves. Let me quickly share two with you. Here's a short section from a devotion on the 3rd of November. Sit down and think. Think about your pace. How in the world did you end up getting trapped in the busyness cycle? What is it down inside your boiler room that keeps pouring the coal to your fire? Consider the past few months. Has anything significant been accomplished? Probably not, if you're honest. And that devotion was thinking about slowing down. On the 4th of November, the very next day, the devotion was about focusing on what matters. And there was a section there about church life, and here's what it says. Make certain you're committed to being part of the ministry at your local church. Don't use this time as a convenient reason to miss out on Sunday worship. Tune in, participate, sing heartily, like we were encouraged to do last week. Do the same this week. Pray fervently, give generously, listen closely. I wonder if any of that, from those two devotions, I wonder if any of that resonates with you. And yet it was God's plan that I would read those things coming into this message today, as I've prayed and thought a lot and struggled and wrestled with this. As we think about examining ourselves, the question has to be asked, and maybe not a comfortable one, but have your standards slipped in the last 8 months when it comes to your spiritual life? Have godly practices fell by the wayside, like prayer, like reading the Bible and being in the Word, like appreciating spiritual input from the local church and all that is going on, like encouraging your children and young people to be online to receive that invaluable spiritual input? Have these things been important? Are they still important? Are they even on the radar? If not, why not? And as hard as this is, can I ask each of us today, and myself included, where is your heart before God? You know, the Bible says a lot about the heart, and Jesus speaks about it in our verses today. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. So what do you treasure? What means the most? Examine yourself. You know, as God's people, we should treasure the things of God and make them a priority. This thought came to mind when I was out in the car earlier this week. If Jesus was to come and sit beside you right now and say, we're going to watch a video of your spiritual life from the middle of March until now, would you want to watch it? Where is your heart? Bob Deffenbaugh puts it well when reflecting on these verses from Matthew 6. Here's what he says. The big question from the Sermon on the Mount is the question of where my heart is. In reading through and studying the Sermon on the Mount over the past several months, my heart has been challenged to really think through this question and to evaluate if my heart is seeking after self or after a real vibrant relationship with God. In a lot of ways, we can put on many masks and faces so people perceive us as spiritual or godly, when in reality, deep in our heart of hearts or in our private life, we struggle with fears, temptations, and desiring the things of the world for man's praise instead of glorifying God. In this passage, Jesus directly addresses the heart by asking the question, where is your treasure? He says in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. There are a lot of things vying for your heart, as this is the control centre for life. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. You know, it was great to hear Mark talking last Sunday about how as a family they sit down together at 11 a.m. to engage in church online. You know, that can be a challenge. I know that well, with a 6-year-old son who at times protests the going on a Sunday morning for core. But I need to explain to him afresh at times. This is important, Andrew. More important than wrestling figures. More important than homework. More important than schoolwork. This is church. Not to be sacrificed and not to be substituted. I also tell him that I understand it's not the same as being in his core class with his friends at the church. And I also tell him I understand that it's not the same as running around in the church gardens after church or in the back hall on a Sunday. You know, if I let him miss a week, it can easily become 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It goes on and on. And very quickly, without spiritual input from the local church, where will he end up? Church won't be important to him. You know, Heather and myself hold the primary responsibility for spiritual input into Andrew's life. And we also have the responsibility to make sure, as best as we can, that he engages in local church. If we don't encourage him and tell him at age 6 that's what he's doing, how will he know that it's important? He won't. And church can become not as important to us. You know, I agree, going to church doesn't make you a Christian. But can I say this? Connecting with the body that Jesus Christ died for should be a non-negotiable. I understand that this is sensitive, and I speak with love and honesty today as we examine ourselves in light of COVID-19 and how that's impacting church life. But as a parent this week, I asked myself, does my son see what Jesus means to me? Does my son see me engaging with the Lord? Does he see me lovingly and with a willing heart engaging with online church? Does he know why it's so important to me? Do I read the Bible and pray with him? Do I do that enough? You know, it has to be a priority. We've made it a priority. Is it for you? Do you take 1 hour from your week and prioritise it for church? That's not a big ask. I don't think it is. 11 a.m. every Sunday. Can I encourage us? Come on, folks. Let's do it. Too much is at stake. In fact, everything is at stake. Every day counts for the Lord Jesus. And if there was ever a time for the local church to be united and to be together and to shine, now is the time. Even though it's on a computer screen, it still counts. And our worship still reaches the throne room of heaven when we meet together, even in our own homes. And you know, there is no answer as to when we will be out of the current situation that we're in. So as we examine ourselves today, will we commit to God afresh? Or will we continue to drift? You know, we don't have church the way that we would like it to be, but we're trying our best with what we have. And you know, I would reckon that there are people in other parts of the world that would give their right arm for a church Zoom prayer time on a Sunday night, or even to see an online service. We have all of that at our fingertips and in our homes. Let's take advantage of it. Let's take advantage of what's available to us at the moment. We've got the technology, but have you got the desire? You know, ultimately it comes down to the decisions that we make. To encourage each other to be on and make it a priority. To respond to a message or not. Come on, folks, let's get engaged again and be excited as a local church. We're not together in person. But in spirit, if we knew that we were all tuning in at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, there would be something special about that, wouldn't there? It was like that at Canopy just 2 weekends ago. There was such a buzz and excitement because everybody knew each other was on at 11 o'clock engaging in church. Let's do it, folks. Let's get committed again if we've not been. Only one life. It will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Can I encourage you? Moving forward, make that Sunday service a priority, or the prayer time on a Sunday night, or your life group during the week. One thing, just one thing. And for our children and young people as well, core on a Sunday morning, metal and YF at 12 noon on a Sunday, going deeper the second Friday in every month, merge life group every Thursday. Young people, make it a priority. Guys, study at another time. Don't let the pressures of this world and studying impact in your spiritual life. You'll pay the price for it. And one day you might ask, where did my relationship with God go? And you know, that is a hard thing for me to say, but I've seen it time and time and time again in the ministry. Today, let's examine our hearts. Where is your heart? Only you know. Where is your treasure? You know, as pastors, we recognise that times are incredibly tough and challenging. But if there was ever a time to dig deep in our faith, it is now. In our personal times with God and in our corporate online time as a church as well. Let's hang on in there, folks. The Apostle Paul struggled so much in persecution when he wrote most of the New Testament books. And we see him hanging on in there when times were as hard as they could be in prison. What is he doing? Praising the Lord, rejoicing, hanging on, digging deep. Let's do that, folks. Let's not give up. Let's hang on in there. Let's hang on in there. And commit to God afresh and live for him and worship him and encourage each other and lift each other up before him. And let's be the church in these days. You know, what we want to do is encourage you to have a deeper commitment with Christ, because that is what really matters. You know, that means enjoying his presence, examining ourselves and realising afresh that God takes us just as we are, with mistakes, failures, putting things before him and losing our focus. And please hear me. He wants to help us as we are and where we are, and take us like that and shape us and mould us so that we can become more like his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's walk with him daily. Be connected to the local church. And enjoy him for who he is. Let me conclude before we come to respond. If Jesus was to come and sit beside you right now and say, we're going to watch a video of your spiritual life from the middle of March until now, would you want to watch it? Examine yourself. Does Jesus mean everything to you today? It is hard, but ultimately it comes down to the decisions that we make. So as we look within today and examine ourselves, what will we find? Maybe you know already something that needs your attention. Maybe something or things that aren't right. You know, the only way to move forward is to recognise where you are and then go from there. And when you recognise where you are, God is there. And he lovingly meets you there. And I've asked a few questions today, and I've struggled and wrestled with them myself this week in preparation. But for you, only you can answer them honestly for yourself. Could you close your eyes for a few moments while I read something to you, and then we'll have a few silent moments where you can respond to God in your heart. Let me encourage you to close your eyes now. To help you focus. A minister's little daughter went into a guest room and stole some sweets. When challenged by her mother as to where she got them, she told her first lie. The broken-hearted mother put her on her lap and told her what it all meant. The little girl wept bitterly, and the mother said, I'm glad to see you're sorry. Now take the sweet out of your mouth and throw it away. The little girl looked at her mother through her tears, clamped her mouth shut and said, "No, I am enjoying it too much." She didn't like to be guilty of wrongdoing and even wept over it. She did everything except the one thing that was necessary. Give it up. You know, as we examine ourselves today, thinking about enjoying the presence of God, we do so recognising that our loving God loves us so much. He wants us to confess to him, to confide in him. He wants to forgive us and use us. So I want to encourage you to examine your own heart now. What is there? What needs to be made right or forgiven? Is it a relationship? An attitude? An unresolved dispute? Is it maybe a fresh commitment to church life for you and your family? Is it you've realised that your prayer life and Bible reading has slipped in recent times? Is it a temper? Is it a work situation that is getting the better of you and needs to be sorted out? Is it a lack of patience? Just take a moment now and allow the Spirit of God to nudge you towards that area that needs to be put right. Father, we thank you for these moments in your presence. As we bow humbly and silently before you, Lord, we recognise that you are holy and set apart. And Lord, as we look within, we so easily realise that the things we put before you. And Father, we give those things to you now. And Father, help us to be bold and brave in actions that we might now need to take moving forward. Whatever they are, you know each of us, each of our hearts, Lord. Jesus, we thank you that you love us, that you call us into relationship with yourself, that you want us to come and enjoy your presence every day. But we know, Lord, that part of that, to walk closely with you, for us, involves us looking within and putting things right that aren't right. So, Lord, help us to do that today. Because it's all for your glory, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord, to encourage and to stand up and step up and be the church and be the people that you want us to be in these times that are so hard and so different. Lord, we do thank you today for the local church at East Mains. Lord, how good you are. How you have blessed us. Lord, I thank you that it's a joy to be part of that. It's a joy to tune in, Lord, and have input with people and in people's lives. God, you are so good today. Help us to enjoy your presence more and more, and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Church family, bless you. It's been so good to share with you today. And let's be encouraged in our walk to go deeper in God's presence as we look within. God bless.
Souls in your arms of love. Jesus, at your name, may our striving cease. Cast out every fear, come and set us free. Still the raging
Thank you for that word this morning, David. Thank you, Ruth, for leading us in worship together. As always, if you are in need of any help, please do not hesitate to get in contact with us. We're here as a church family together during this time, loving and caring and supporting each other. We want to be here to support you in any way that we can do so. And we've got what's happening right now, David?
Yeah, so you're welcome to join us to meet together on Zoom in breakout rooms for 20 minutes. We did it 2 weeks ago and folk were really encouraged and enthused about that. So again today, you know, if you can, at 12 o'clock, please join us for that and spend some time together.
Yeah, thank you, David. Thank you, everyone, for joining with us today, and God bless you in your week ahead, and we will see you next Sunday at the same time.